All right, as I mentioned before the break, a guy I used to visit with regularly, but since he's moved to the corner office at FC Stone, chief commodities economist Arlen Suderman has been hard to get a hold of. He's just been busy, so I cut him some slack. But Arlen, it's great to have you on the radio.
Hey, it's good to be back here with you once again.
Thank you. Now, is the FC Stone is kind of the household name, but is it the official name of the company, International FC Stone, or
INTL FC Stone? And that comes basically from the joining together of three different companies: FC Commodities, Stone Company, and then International, and my mind just went blank on the other part of their name, but came together with that INTL FC Stone, which is a tongue twister, unfortunately.
Sure. It's easier just to say, hey, Arlen, great to talk to you again.
So, absolutely.
Boy, we had yesterday, the markets had, they were in tough shape all week, and so the CME expanded the limit. We didn't need that today, did we?
No, we certainly did not, and continuing to be weak, though, and the funds built up huge positions in this market, near record large positions of speculative hedge funds, building in crop losses before the crop was really that vulnerable, and all of a sudden realized that the weather, the rains were starting to come in some of the drier areas. Now we find ourselves with better than expected coverage last night in eastern Midwest, where some of the areas in the southwest Midwest that are a bit driest are expected to see some good rains in the 6 to 10 day, and more importantly, the 16 to 30 day, which looks into the core of the pollination period for the Midwest. Today's update looks much cooler, more moderate temperatures, and some, sufficient moisture to supply the crop, and suddenly the funds find themselves thinking, maybe we got ahead of ourselves on the corn market.
Yeah, the weather prognosticators last winter were all in agreement. The strong El Nino is going to go to a strong La Nina, but that is, we shot to neutral and have skidded to a stop as far as sea surface temperatures.
So absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up. One of the things we've been watching, of course, is those sea surface temperatures in the area of the central equatorial Pacific. It's called the Nino. Can't hardly say it today, 3.4 area. Now, further to the east of that, near the South American coastline, is the regions 1 and 2. That area saw rapid decline in temperatures into cool temperature territory, which is where you go with La Nina, and then it stabilized. And then we saw the core area, 3.4 area, drop about 4 weeks later. And so everyone's saying, see, they're dropping, we're going to a La Nina. But if the pattern was to hold, we expected that to stabilize, and it did stabilize, and it's actually warming up a little bit again. So we've been watching, when will that 1 and 2 region next to the South America coast, when will that start cooling once again? Because then we want to look 4 weeks later. That should indicate when the 3.4 year should start cooling once again because of water currents, wind currents, and stuff. And if this last week, that 1 and 2 regions started to cool once again, started to go down. So we'll be watching 4 weeks from now for maybe the start of moving toward La Nina territory, maybe actually moving into a weak La Nina state by the end of July or the 1st of August, which really is pretty consistent with what Commodity Weather Group's been saying, the people we work with there, been saying for the last 2 or 3 months.
All right. Well, so the ag commodities have been in the weather market lately. Are we going to start, and that's fundamental. So are we going to look at fundamental data like what's happening with the June 30th quarterly grain stocks and acreage report next week?
You know, the June 30th reports are probably the second most significant of the year as far as market reaction. Not unusual to get daily limit moves in the market because of surprises in there. This year's corn acreage, I think, is where we could have some of the biggest surprises. The general expectations of the trade is that we'll see a small reduction in the acreage, but you have individuals who their expectations are both sides and significantly on both sides of that. And so there's just not a lot of certainty about where the corn acreage is going to be. Soybeans, the general expectation is we're going to add more acres, probably close to 2 million more acres, and I think it could be close even up to 2.5 million. I wouldn't be surprised. because of the even much bigger rally we saw in soybeans as a harvesting wheat in the southern Midwest and in the central plains. We're seeing planters right behind the combines coming in to plant soybeans in those areas. Big seed sales in those areas. So double crop soybeans should be up significantly this year.
Yeah.
So we could see a significant increase in soybeans.
All right, and especially in the Dakotas. Hey, only got 30 seconds to go here, Arlen, but you've got a webinar. Can people sign up for your webinar, which will take place 2 o'clock next Thursday, June 30th?
Absolutely. INTLFCstone.com. Go there and be a chance to review the highlights of the report and a Q&A time. Ask your questions.
All right. To you, you're going to be right there and available, huh?
I'll be doing it, and I'll be taking questions.
Excellent. All right. All right. Well, we'll do that. We'll check it out. And again, Arlen Suderman, for folks who want to kind of get more information on INTLFC Stone, where do they do that?
And go to our website, intlfcstone.com.
All right. Arlen, have a great rest of the week and a good 4th of July weekend.
You too. Great to visit with you again.
Thank you, Arlen. We'll talk again.